This is Morning Edition on 89.1 WEMU. I'm Patrick Campion, sitting in for David Fair this morning. It is the first Friday of the month, so this is the time where we set aside some important time to talk about issues of the environment to our state, our county, our hometown. And we bring in our friend and station contributor, Lisa Wozniak, the executive director of the Michigan League of Conservation Voters and co-host of WEMU's First Friday Focus on the Environment. On this month's show, WEMU News Director David Fair, of course, is away, so Lisa is going to go solo and explore the issue of the 1,4-dioxin plume emanating from the old Gelman Sciences facility on Wagner Road in Scion Township and moving slowly towards the Huron River.
My guest today is Mitch Adelman from the Michigan Department of Environmental Quality. Mr. Adelman is the DEQ's expert on the Gelman plume of 1,4-dioxane that has contaminated groundwater beneath Ann Arbor's west side and continues to spread, threatening Ann Arbor's drinking water supply. So good morning, Mr. Adelman. Welcome to the show.
Good morning.
Well, this problem has its origins dating all the way back to the 60s, 70s, and 80s when Gelman Sciences sprayed dioxane onto fields near their property on Wagner Road, just west of Ann Arbor. So why, many decades later, are we still negotiating how to contain the spread of the dioxane instead of talking about remediation?
So that's a great question, Lisa. I tell people that this Gelman site is an excellent case study in the evolution of Michigan's environmental laws over the course of the past 30-plus years. So we're dealing with legacy contamination, as you said, that was created starting in the 1960s as a result of some wastewater disposal practices, some of which were permitted by the old Department of Natural Resources and others which were not permitted, that resulted in the groundwater contamination. And after we discovered some contaminated residential wells in the late 1980s, we worked with the company to identify and replace residential wells that were contaminated. And ultimately, we couldn't reach agreement on some of the issues, and we went to court. The upshot of that was a consent judgment between the state and Gelman as the liable party to clean up the aquifer. And when I use clean up, I think it's important to define that term. So the original requirement was for the company to restore the aquifer to unrestricted use using risk-based standards, and the original standard was 3 parts per billion.
Well, let's talk about that a little bit. Before we jump into the 3 parts per billion, though, I just want to ask, because in the early 1990s, you're talking about legacy and things that have come before us. Michigan was one of a number of states that actually passed a law called Polluter Pay. Mm-hmm. That basically said if a company spills chemicals or otherwise contaminates an area, they'll be held financially responsible for cleaning up the problem they created. That bill was then gutted in the mid-90s. And so at this point, who's footing the bill for this?
So we still have the legally liable entity, Gelman Sciences, Inc., paying the bill. There have been some successor corporations that have acquired the assets and liabilities of the former Gelman company, and the Gelman still exists for the purposes of paying the bills. So they're paying the costs, and right now they're pumping 500 gallons per minute of contaminated groundwater and treating it at a treatment plant. And then back to the larger scale question about the evolution of our environmental laws since the 80s, as you said, polluter pay took the place of the original Michigan Act 307, which was passed in 1982 as a follow-up to the big Superfund law that was passed by the feds in 1980. We didn't, however, when the Act 307 was passed, we didn't have cleanup standards, and we in Michigan, along with the rest of the country, were wrestling with this whole question of, and I'll say it 3 different ways because this affects some of the relates some of the subjectivity of this. So one way to say it is, how clean should clean be? Another way to say it is, how clean is clean? And a third way might be, how dirty is clean? So the concept there is, as our analytical capabilities in chemistry get better over time and we can see lower and lower concentrations of things like the 1,4-dioxane that Gelman used, we need to be able to, we collectively, that's the citizens of the state, the legislature, the department, and others, need to agree on how much is too much versus how much is too bad, so to speak. So how clean is clean, or how clean should clean be? So in 1991, and the polluter pay, when that was passed, we used this standard of 3 parts per billion, And then in 1995, the legislature and governor did change the law to change the risk level, and they still retained the liability scheme in terms of those responsible for causing the contamination have to pay the bills. However, the burden of determining who was responsible was placed onto the department, which was a change from the original 1991 law.
You're listening to 89.1 WEMU and our first Friday Focus on the Environment. I'm Lisa Wozniak, and we're talking about Ann Arbor's dioxane plume with Mitch Edelman of the Michigan Department of Environmental Quality. Mitch, I'm sure you're aware that the technology to clean up dioxane to non-detect levels actually exists. It's been done and is being done in other areas of the country. A Canadian company called Trojan UV is doing it in Tucson, Arizona right now, and Trojan UV happens to be the subsidiary of Danaher, which is the current owner of Gelman and its liabilities. This is a company that's already proven it can completely remediate the dioxane issue. Why not seek that as an end result in our case here in Washtenaw County?
Well, that's another great question. And in fact, the department did seek to restore the aquifer to unrestricted use using a cleanup criterion of 85 parts per billion back in 2004. And we did a public participation process and made a decision on September 1 of 2004, wherein we required the company to restore the aquifer to unrestricted use by pumping up even more contaminated groundwater than they were treating at the time. At the time, they were pumping and treating about 800 gallons per minute. The company challenged us in court. We had some hearings on that, and the Washtenaw County Circuit Court issued a decision in December of 2004, enabling the company to use some provisions of Part 201, the environmental remediation part of state law, that allowed them to establish a court-ordered institutional control, thereby allowing them to not restore the aquifer to unrestricted use. So the DEQ, and with the help of the Attorney General, challenged, we made our decision, and the company challenged that in court, and we lost in court. So now we're having to implement the court orders as issued.
So if you're an Ann Arbor resident and you're deeply concerned about what's happening in your backyard, drinking water, and the homes that are truly threatened by this contamination, and especially, you know, concerned given that what's happened in Flint with water and water contamination, what does the DEQ suggest citizens of Scioto Township and Ann Arbor do to ensure that their water is safe, their families are safe, including those that are already on bottled water because of the well contamination?
So first, know that the department shares the concern of all the stakeholders to make sure that the public is protected and is drinking safe levels of water. The DEQ, work closely with Washtenaw County Public Health and provide them money to monitor certain residential wells. Since October of 2016, we've monitored over 54 residential wells. Some of those get monitored more than once per year. And the purpose of that monitoring is to make sure people are drinking safe water, and if there's any change in that water quality, that the people are provided with safe drinking water. Typically, it's the department goes to the company Gelman to get them to replace. So they did that last in, I think it was February of 2016, they replaced one well. So we work with the company to monitor the contaminated groundwater. We work with the county and other residents. We've got a website that provides a lot of information and has got some links to the Washtenaw County website that has the names of environmental labs that people can obtain 1,4-dioxane testing if they don't trust us. And yet, just know that we all share the public's desire to make sure the public health is protected.
Well, thank you so much, Mr. Edelman, for your time. It's been a pleasure speaking with you today, and I know that this is a story that will continue.
Yes, thank you very much for covering it. We appreciate it.
That is Mitch Edelman of the Michigan Department of Environmental Quality. I'm Lisa Wozniak, inviting you to join me next month for the next edition of 89.1 WEMU's First Friday Focus on the Environment.
Lisa Wozniak is Executive Director of the Michigan League of Conservation Voters. WEMU's First Friday Focus on the Environment is a monthly feature and is heard, as you might expect, on the first Friday of each month. For more information on today's feature and to visit the archive, go to our webpage, WEMU.org. I'm Patrick Campion, sitting in for David Fair. This is 89.1 WEMU FM and WEMU HD1 Ypsilanti.